Welcome to the Palmetto Street Church of God Message Podcast. We pray that you are inspired by today's message, and we hope that you share and subscribe to this podcast so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can go forth and reach many people in our world today. Enjoy the message.
If you have your Bibles, could you please open them to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And when you open to the chapter 4, we're going to begin with verse 31. And when you have your place, say amen. And the word of the Lord says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. And I sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Notice with me verse 34. It says, "Jesus saith unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." I want to speak to you on this thought tonight, the zeal of Christ, the zeal of Christ. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we have gathered together in your holy name. Father, I have no power in myself, in my flesh, but I know that greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. And Father, I pray that your presence would fill this sanctuary and minister to each and every individual here. Father, I pray that you'd use me as a vessel, as a conduit, that your power may surge through and minister to your people here tonight. Father, let the sinner be drawn to a place of faith in the gospel and the believer be edified, God. Father, I pray that you would have your way in this service here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. When we think about zeal, we think about a desire or a motivation to do something. We think about a passion to do something. When I think of the zeal that a Christian should have, what greater example than that of Christ? Amen. See, Christ, if we think about how we should live our life and how we should pursue the will of God, I would think the first person we should look at is Christ. Amen. And when we think about the will of God, the thought of God's will can be a little complex, but yet, in the same sense, simple. God has revealed his will to us in his word. If you go a few pages over and you see John chapter 6, verse 38. He says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." See, it's clear that the Father's will is that those who are lost and far from God are to be saved. And actually, this was God's plan from the beginning. In chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, mankind has already fell into sin. But in the 15th verse, God has already given a promise that mankind would be redeemed. It says that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. That was a prophecy of Jesus Christ that would come and destroy the works of the devil. So it's always been God's plan from the beginning to redeem his creation, because God is a loving God. He's a merciful and gracious God. And see, God's plan for you and I is to walk with him in the cool of the day. Amen. It is to worship him in his holiness and his splendor and his majesty. It's to enjoy him. He's the source of our enjoyment. He's the source of our peace. He's the source of our fulfillment, our contentment. Everything that we need is in God and God alone. Amen. Christ. He came for one purpose, which was to fulfill the will of the Father. See, Christ is the eternal Word manifested in the flesh. The Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Jesus Christ was the light that came into the world to point us to God. And if we see in chapter 4, one of my favorite chapters in the book of John, and if you haven't already noticed, the book of John is my favorite book, amen. Because the book of John is usually the book that we point for new believers, amen. Because the way that John writes, it can be very simple, clear, and concise. When I tell you, when you begin to study the book of John, it doesn't seem quite as simple in some things. That's the Word of God for you. At times it can be so simple, and other times it can be so complex that you just throw your hands up and say, God, I just can't understand. Because see, we have to, when we read the Word of God, no matter our education level, no matter our social status, we have to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit to discern spiritual truth. Amen. And in this fourth chapter, I really believe that Jesus is teaching the disciples what doing the Father's will looks like. If we go back a couple chapters, in the first chapter, Jesus is brought in and he calls the disciples. And the second chapter, he does his first miracle and turns the water into wine. And he leaves from there, from Cana, and travels to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. And when he gets to Jerusalem and goes to the temple, Jesus starts to kind of shake some things up. He overthrows the tables and he pours out the money. And he tells them, he says that if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. And then after that, he has a very interesting conversation with a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. And he leaves from there, and he wants to make his way back to Galilee. And as a Jewish man, especially a rabbi, a teacher of the law, most Jewish men would not step foot in Samaria if they did not have to. Because Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And you can look back into the Old Testament and you can study why that is. And just to kind of condense it, it's because the Samaritans, they were mixed breed. They were Jew and Gentile mixed, and they had not only mixed the race, but they had adopted the pagan cultures. That was really what the issue was. They had adopted the pagan cultures, and they had begun to worship other gods. And since then, Jews and Samaritans had no dealings. The Bible says that he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And the fourth verse says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now, we could say this might have been the easiest route for Jesus. Maybe this was the shortest route. But I believe that Jesus knew he had to go through Samaria for a divine appointment. Amen. So he goes through Samaria, and he finds himself wearied from his journey. And he stops by a well, and not just any well, but Jacob's well. And it says, Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And the sixth hour was about noontime. And typically, when women would come to the well, they would come early in the morning or late in the evening. But this because noontime was the hottest part of the day. And when he comes to this well, he finds a woman of Samaria, and she comes to draw water. And Jesus says to her, give me to drink. Now this woman, she came by herself at the hottest part of the day. That's no coincidence. She came because she knew people would not be there, or so she thought. She didn't want to be seen by anybody. So that tells us right there, this woman possibly had a bad reputation of some sort. So she comes and Jesus looks to her and says, give me to drink. Astonished, the woman is taken aback that a Jewish man would ask of her to drink. And she says, how thou being a Jew ask me of a woman of Samaria to drink, for Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. But Jesus looked at her and answered and said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. See, she was thinking from a natural perspective. She had no idea what this man was offering her. He was not offering her no natural water, but a spiritual water. Amen. And not only did he want to give her a taste, but he wanted to plant in her a well of everlasting life within her, continuously abiding within her. See, God does not give us just a taste, but he wants to plant in us a river of living water flowing in us and through us. And he did not give us this just for ourselves, but to extend this gift of eternal life to somebody. Palmetto Street Church of God, I want to tell somebody here today that there's some areas that you need to stop by. There's some women and men at the well that need that eternal living water. Hallelujah. See, I'm telling you, there's some blind Bartimaeus that need their sight restored. I'm telling you, we are the hands and feet of Almighty God. We have called to be the church. And if just a handful of people could get so serious about doing the Father's will that they say, I have meat that you know not of. He shut up, I have meat that you know not of, but the meat that I have is to do the will of the Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can somebody give God some praise? Hallelujah. Woo! See, what Jesus was saying was this meat, this passion to do the Father's will, it sustains him. It's all that he thinks about. It overrides his physical passions and desires. This passion, desire to accomplish the Father's will supersedes everything. And see, Jesus Christ, he loved the Father so much. But not only did he love the Father, but he loved people. And he cared for people. And not just any people, but people that have been rejected of society. People that have been looked down upon, people that nobody else wanted to deal with. That was the very people that Jesus Christ wanted to deal with. Hallelujah. He came for the regular. He came for the rejected. He came for all people. And what's interesting enough is this, is not only did he come for the regular and the rejected, but he came for the religious. Hallelujah. He came for the religious. Because in the prior chapter, he has a conversation with a man on the whole opposite end of the spectrum. He has a conversation with that of Nicodemus. And if you look at that conversation goes a lot different than the one with the Samaritan woman. Amen. I didn't get to finish it, but I will. When he talks to Nicodemus, Nicodemus looks at him and says, teacher, we know that you have come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus didn't accept no, he didn't, he, all he said was, verily, verily, I say unto thee that you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus looks at him and he says, how can a man be born? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born again? How can this be? And Jesus looked at him and said, that, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that ye must be born not only of the water, but of the Spirit. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, that ye must be born again. For the wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Because no man can manipulate it. The gift of the new birth is a miraculous gift of Almighty God. Amen. And see, though Nicodemus was a man of high stature, a man of high education, he could not discern the truth that Jesus was giving him. Because I don't care who you are. I don't care what your title is. I don't care where you come from. If you're going to come to God, you have to come to God with childlike faith, understanding nothing, depending on Him. I tell you, it doesn't matter how much I grow and how much I learn. I have to approach God, and I have to approach the Word of God with all humility and brokenness, understanding nothing, understanding that, no, I cannot understand the truth of Scripture without the Holy Spirit. We are totally and entirely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And he tells the woman, he says, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. This was not a jab. That's not what Jesus' intention was here. But what Jesus wanted her to know was he knew exactly who he was talking to. He knew everything about her. He knew her past, and he did not care. Amen. The woman said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus looked at her and said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman says, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he has come, he would tell us all things. Because basically what this woman was saying is, I have no idea what you're talking about, sir. She said, when the Christ comes, he will explain all these things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He revealed himself to the Samaritan woman, but he treated the religious man much differently. Because a religious man needed to be humbled. This woman was already humbled and broken. She had already been rejected of society. And Jesus treated her with gentleness and compassion and kindness. Aren't you glad that we can worship the Father anywhere? I'm thankful that we have a beautiful sanctuary and a place to gather. God has blessed us tremendously. But I want to tell you that if you're a believer today, you have a well within you of living water springing up within you of everlasting life. Hallelujah. And no matter whether you're in the car or in the prayer closet or in the grocery store, you can call on the name of God. And when you call on the name of God, the Father, he inclines his ear unto you. And constantly as you're walking with God, there is one that sits at the right hand, forever making intercession for you and I. And his name is Jesus Christ. And when he left this place, he did not leave us orphans, but he sent us his Holy Spirit to dwell within us, that comforts us, that helps us, that guides us and leads us. Hallelujah. He is a power within us to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be witnesses to all the uttermost parts of the earth. See, it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to all that will believe, to the Jew first, then to the Greek. The gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, is the power of God to save all that will believe. But brothers and sisters, how will they hear? Faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And how will they hear if there be not a preacher? He's not just talking about the one behind the pulpit, but he's talking about every born again believer. To proclaim the word of God, to proclaim the good news. And not only to proclaim the good news, but to live the good news. Amen. There's very much a practical aspect to the gospel. It's not just something we confess with our lips, but it's a life that we live. Hallelujah. Because not only did he save us, he not only forgave us, but he redeemed us and he freed us from the power and dominion of sin. See, you and I was once bound in our trespasses and sin, but God, he made us alive. And he freed us from the power of sin that we may live a new life in holiness and righteousness. Please don't misunderstand me. Not out of legalism, but out of love. Love for God and love for your neighbor. This is the driving force of why we do what we do. And we go down to the opening of my text. And the disciples, they went and they got food. And they come back and seen Jesus with this woman. And they were confused and confounded, but they didn't say anything. Because they knew who Jesus was. And they asked him if he wanted anything to eat. And he replies, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? But he answered to them, my meat, my fulfillment, what sustains me is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye that they are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. See, brothers and sisters, the problem is not the harvest, because the harvest is plenteous, but it's the laborers, it's us. And see, what Jesus was saying was, don't wait around, because the harvest is plenteous, because there are thousands of women just like this woman of Samaria at the well, waiting to be freed from their past. And there are thousands of Nicodemuses stuck in religion, waiting to be born again. And there are thousands of blind Bartimaeuses needing their sight restored, lost in darkness, stumbling and falling, that need their sight restored. And they're waiting on a woman of God, a man of God, that has the living word to extend it to them, that they may live and see and be restored to a holy God. Hallelujah. I'm glad that he's met me where I was at. See, God, I never went seeking for God, but God came seeking for me. Because that's who God is. He's a God that loves his people. He loves his creation. And he goes out to way to extend grace and mercy unto them. Now, Christ has given us the perfect example of what it looks like to do the will of the Father. And my question to you tonight is this. How bad do you want to finish the work that God has given you? We see how zealous Christ was. And we see how serious he was about doing the Father's business. And I want to ask you tonight, how zealous are you about doing the will of the Father? Not the will of man, not the will of your flesh, but the will of the Father. How do we know the will of the Father? We look to the Scriptures. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. We have to be renewed in the Word every day to know the will of God. I want to leave you with this tonight. Would anybody here tonight be willing to humble themselves and bow themselves before God at an altar and say, I want that zeal that Christ had. That I want to do the will of the Father so bad that it replaces my desire to even eat. Would anybody be willing tonight to say, God, light a fire within me for those who are lost and undone without God? Because I tell you that outside these double doors are men and women who are lost and are dying and on their way to destruction. needing somebody to come by their way and lead them out.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you are inspired by today's message. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and to follow us on our social media. If you would like to give to this ministry, visit us at pscog.org. Stay safe and have an incredible day in Jesus' name.